Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
Let's talk about reunions.
What kind of reunions?
Did you ever go to your class reunion?
No, I did not.
No.
I feel like class reunions sort of died with our generation. In a lot of ways.
I get it.
Like, my parents would... My mom was, like, on her reunion committee. They have a reunion, like, every, you know, 10 years. And now that my parents are, you know, older, my mom is in her 70s now. They're doing them kind of, like, every 5 years.
Right,
just to, like, be able to get in touch with people and see them
and
as
sometimes
they age.
I find that that generation will batch them. It'll be, like, the class of 75 and the class of 74 and 73 all do a reunion together.
Right. But no, that was never culture. I feel like that just very much so died. I do remember coming home from college those first few years. That night before Thanksgiving is the night when everybody's home. So you usually end up running into people out.
I think that's like a Northeast culture thing. I really do think that.
The drunks of the Northeast?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that happens elsewhere, but like,
sure.
I never remember that being culture.
Like, because no one wants to come back to the South.
There it is. Y'all heard it. I didn't have to say it. Yep.
Didn't have to, but was thinking.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I didn't go to mine either. Mm-hmm. It wasn't...
Because you escaped.
I escaped. I got out. It was not well attended. For those who are just listening, I grew up in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will say this. When I was a senior in high school, I was the senior class vice president.
Does that still haunt you?
No, I didn't do much, honestly. The gal who was the senior class president, her name was Melissa, and she came to me senior year and was like, hey, so let's talk about, you know, what our plans are for when we have to plan reunions. And I looked at her and I said, I will not ever be doing that. I will not help in any way. As soon as we are out of here, that is
I'm never coming back.
I am never coming back. You will never hear from me again. I will not even forward an email. Mm-hmm. And any email that I see about something like this, I will not even read.
I will light it on fire. I don't care that it's electronic.
And so we ended up seeing each other at a mutual friend's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the year before our 10-year reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And we had other friends of ours were there. And like, I had made a little, I guess it was a little pact with like two friends that you've met now, mm-hmm. Billy and Katie, and all three of us were like, okay, well, we would only go to a class reunion like this if all three of us went. Like,
sure.
We're not going unless all three of us go.
Right.
So at this wedding, it was Katie's wedding. Melissa was like, so Dusty, you know, we have our class reunion next year. And I was like, Melissa, I remember what I told you senior year and I haven't forgotten it and it still stands, mm-hmm. period. She was like, all right, fine. She was like, is there, and now she's asking the whole group, is there a time that would work if all of you wanted to come? We were like, well, you know, we all are at another wedding next May, but if you planned it in June, we could make it.
Mm-hmm.
She planned it in June. None of us went.
Yep.
And that was that. No regrets. The only about 12 people went.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, class reunion's not my thing. Never going to be my thing. I'm not here for them.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the the postcards are real. You can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Father, you are there.
At the national park.
Father, you are there.
At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land, also known as Mount Rainier National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Cowlitz, Muckleshoot, Nisqually, Puyallup, Squaxin Island, Yakima, and Coast Salish people.
All right. So this is one of those somewhat rare instances where what we've done in real life mimics what we're doing in the show. When we last left off, we had hiked in Olympic National Park. We hiked the Quinault Loop hike, which allowed us an actual rest day because it was a very small hike.
And this and was
a big driving day.
Yeah, Quinault in Olympic National Park.
Mm-hmm. I said that already, but thanks.
I'm emphasizing.
So this was sort of a rest day in that we were going to be doing a lot of driving. It was about a 3.5 hour, 4-ish hour drive because we were headed to Mount Rainier.
And real quick, this is our first episode in Mount Rainier National Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a sweetie. Mm-hmm.
So we, in the morning, that morning, packed up in Forks, and made our journey from Forks to Quinault. And then from Quinault, we headed south toward Olympia, Washington. For the initial part of the drive from Quinault to Olympia, it was fairly peaceful and still forested. And the road was a bit of back road experience. It actually was very windy. And we were like, where is the highway? It felt like we should have turned onto a highway a long while ago.
Eventually, we do find the highway and made our way toward Olympia. It was a little more congested here as we approached and then swiftly exited the city. But I'm glad we were, you know, just passing through, as we would have had our city moment at the end of the trip with a visit to Seattle. So we knew we were going to get some city at the end of this trip.
Yeah.
Which, spoiler alert, also not rest days.
No.
We've mentioned that, though. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned that a number of times before. Mm-hmm. But as we passed through Olympia, we only had about an hour and a half left on our 3-hour drive. And we needed to pick up some provisions on the way. And we didn't have a strong cooler situation with us at the time. So we looked up what would end up being the closest and found something not far and about 30 minutes away from the place we were staying.
This again becomes sort of a country road as we are driving away from Olympia, but with a very prominent feature in the distance, and that is Mount Rainier. It's so wild to see Mount Rainier, which is an incredibly prominent mountain, so far from the mountain.
And at no point, Mount Rainier never doesn't feel gigantic.
No.
It's always gigantic.
Yeah.
It's always there. It's so enormous and it's so prominent.
Yeah. I mean, it's a relatively flat part of the country, like outside of the Olympics and the Cascade Range and everything. That part of Washington near the Sound, you're pretty much at sea level. And leading up to Olympic, it was pretty flat in general, other than Rainier being the big kind of like beacon in the distance. So after getting groceries, we do continue on down the road. We're about 30 minutes away. We're really excited because we're going to be able to link back up with our friend Becky Lomax. We had hiked with Becky only a month prior to this on the East Coast when she was visiting a bunch of East Coast parks in Acadia with her friend Jane. And the hope was that maybe Jane would be able to join us for part of this trip. That didn't really pan out, but we were going to be able to meet Becky's sister, Marcy, which was also very exciting. The accommodations that we had booked were what we had originally secured when we were going on our trip, which was also going to include our friends Brian and Tino. And at the time, Becky was going to just be staying in a campsite with Marcy, and we were going to have the accommodations, and then we would just like link up as we were going into the park. And if you listen to earlier episodes, that trip sort of fell through. Brian and Tino couldn't make it. So it worked out that Becky was going to be able to stay with us in the house and that Marcy was also going to have space. So this ended up being a very special experience to be able to spend that time all in one place together.
And talk about just even more instant family.
Oh, yeah.
Meeting Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we were like one family crew immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So Becky had already arrived that day to the spot we were staying. and immediately just like bear hugs, huge reunion moment. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was so good to see her.
Yes.
And then meet Marcy, who we got to meet a little later.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had just seen her about a month ago, but it was just like, it was such a wonderful reuniting. And Becky had just driven up the coast of Oregon. She was at a big family reunion. And so she had a lot of stuff already, like provisions and stuff for the house. And so we made a dinner together. We relaxed. And then we planned for the following day. Becky had coordinated with Marcy. So we hit the hay and got ourselves set for a really early day.
When we woke up, we got ourselves breakfast and coffee. So we were both sort of like working with kind of like a meal plan for ourselves and trying to eat a little bit more high protein at the time. So you had brought your frother with us so we could like froth the coffee with protein powder and all that sort of stuff. But we got ourselves set up and packed lunches, you know, got everything ready so we could go pick up Marcy, who we hadn't met. But we were going to pick her up at the Cougar Rock Campground, which was not far after entering into the park.
So we were early on this day, so there were no rangers in any of the stations. And we did want to make sure that we could park at the visitor center, another reason we arrived early. Parking is decent up on this area of Mount Rainier, but it is tricky the later you come into the park. So we made our way up to the campground, met Marcy and her husband, Ed, who had already been so gracious to let us stay with them in Seattle if we had wanted to, which was so kind of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they had camped for two nights. Ed was heading back with their van and Marcy was going to head back with Becky after our few days together hiking in Rainier. So we made our way up to the visitor center slash lodge parking lot. We were able to park fairly close and got geared up and began to hit the trail.
Initially, as we walk through the parking lot and behind the lodge, we are on pavement. So it's kind of like just blacktop area, sort of like a parking lot. Here we can see lots of small metal plates that are clustered in the ground that marked different peaks on the Pacific coast and their elevation. So there was like Mount Adams, the Three Sisters, there's Mount Hood. It was just like really interesting, these kind of like smattering of plates. There wasn't like a map to accompany them, but they were just kind of laid out in their sort of coordinates to one another on the ground. Becky pointed out that the bathroom building had a snow tunnel, which was very interesting to us because this is not something we're used to, such extreme levels of snow on the East Coast. But we even talked about how pitched all the roofs that were here in the visitor center area for the visitor center of the lodge. And there were some photos that we later saw just of how high the snow could be. And this was a little early for us to be in the park in general. We were there kind of right before 4th of July. It was like right on the cusp of 4th of July weekend. The last day that we were there was like actually the weekend of 4th of July. So I think there was also some nervousness about us getting into the park early and what the situation was going to be like with parking and how crowded it was going to be, which definitely turned up the later we had stayed in Rainier through those 3 days.
So as we approached the start of the trail, we got a chance to chat a little more with Marcy and learn a little more about Marcy and Becky and their upbringing, specifically when it came to hiking. They had hiked the previous day. They had done Bench Lake together. But what they had shared with us was that this was like their home park.
Yeah.
They grew up in this area, the two of them. And so it's a little bit of a homecoming anytime they get to come and hike in Mount Rainier. And so it was so great to hear all of their stories about like different moments on different trails in Rainier. They told us a little bit about when they summited. They told us a little bit about what it's like at different times of the year.
What it's like to hike on sunrise too.
What they remembered from how things look different then versus how things look different now.
It should be noted, since I just mentioned it too, that Rainier is essentially divided into two halves, Paradise and Sunrise. So Sunrise at the time when we had arrived was not available to go to
because the road was not open. The road was closed.
There it is. So we were just sticking to the Paradise side of the park. As we were walking behind the visitor center, we approached the stairs that kind of are going to lead us up onto the trail. And here we are still left on a paved path as we start the hike. So there's a signboard that's the trailhead with all the information, and we are just led out onto a paved path. This has a very short incline, and it's lined with pines and other foliage and brush that aren't that tall, considering what we'll kind of get into at other points.
It is worth noting that these two areas that you just mentioned, Paradise and Sunrise, we were at the Paradise side. And being at either one of these sides, you can summit Mount Rainier in a hike from either one of these places. But there's also just this very broad, interconnected trail system that exists in Paradise. There's another one that exists in Sunrise, all of which do have trails that do lead up to the summit if you wanted to summit, but that takes like special permission, permits, things like that, special gear. And there's also the Wonderland Trail, which wraps entirely all the way around the perimeter of Mount Rainier.
Which takes quite some time to do.
Quite some time, multiple days.
Right. I think it's more like weeks.
Yeah, or weeks.
And people have done it, so Marcy and Becky have done parts of it, but I don't think ever the whole thing.
And we were exploring the network of trails on the Paradise side.
So as we're walking, we eventually see a trail marker that says that the Golden Gate Trail is only about 0.2 miles away. That was going to be the trail that we returned on. Panorama Point, which we weren't going to on this day, was about 3.1 miles from this point. The total journey for us on this day was going to be about 3.5 miles, but with a ton of elevation gain and loss. As we start, the trail starts to gain more elevation, but it's still paved. And eventually, we wind our way up to see a wooden bridge that crosses over a stream, which is at the crest of Myrtle Falls. We're just about at the juncture point of where the Golden Gate Trail would intersect with this part of what would basically be the Skyline Trail, which is essentially the two trails that we're on this entire day. At this point, the trail starts to open up, and we make our way on to some rougher trail.
And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
All right, Mike, I have a new game for us.
Oh,
okay.
New game.
So I want you to think of a singer or a band. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give you one, you're going to give me one, and then I'm going to tell you what the task is.
Okay, I'm giving you a singer and you're going to give me a singer.
Correct. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
What you got?
I'm going to give you Jessie Ware.
Jessie Ware, okay, and I'm going to give you Dolly Parton.
Okay.
Okay, great. The task is they are now making an album of Broadway songs.
Okay.
What are the three big tracks that are gonna just slay on the charts from Dolly Parton's Broadway album and mine is Jessie Ware's Broadway album?
Okay. All right.
So think about it and come up with it. All right, Mike, what is on Dolly Parton's Broadway album?
Great.
I'm ready for you.
I had to really think about that because I feel like Dolly's canon is large.
Yeah.
But she has a very specific sound.
Yeah.
So, on Dolly Parton's Broadway album, we have Do You Hear the People Sing?
Oh, she could do a really beautiful folksy version of that.
I'm thinking of like her We Used to Laugh.
Yes.
We used to. Like that's what inspired that.
She could harmonize with herself. Mm-hmm. It would be great. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
She's singing Tomorrow.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She's singing to God, that would make me cry hearing her do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And then lastly, she's singing Gold from Once.
From Once. Oh, Girl, you understood the assignment.
I did. I
well
sure did.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jessie
now
Ware.
We need her to do that.
I know. Now I need her to do that. Okay. Okay, Jessie Ware. Jessie Ware is such a big, powerful voice mm-hmm. as well. I mean, she's a pop. She's so pop. And like mm-hmm. her music is so like 80s and pop and like delicious and disco too. Mm-hmm. But she's also got this like powerful vocal instrument,
yeah.
right? So that's what I'm thinking. First, we're going to do She Used to Be Mine from Waitress. Mm-hmm. I really want to hear her do that. Mm-hmm. Then I do think it's funny that I have chosen two people, like two songs that were both sung by the same actress in two different Broadway mm-hmm. shows. So I guess Jessie Ware is akin to this actress, Christiane Knoll. Mm-hmm. It's a tie for me for two different songs from Lucy in Jekyll and Hyde, which is Someone Like You or A New Life. I would love to hear Jessie Ware do either one of those, but that isn't my third song, so I guess I have four. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Back to Before from Ragtime. Like, I'm dying to hear her mm-hmm. do that song. Mm-hmm. Like, these are like 11 o'clock big numbers, big belty 11 o'clock numbers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, an emotionally driven. And I just feel like she's got that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess I think I like A New Life more than I like Someone Like You. So I'm going to say A New Life for okay. her from Jekyll and Hyde.
I feel like she could do a really beautiful move on with
oh,
somebody.
Oh, my God. Yes. But I want her to like do the duet. Mm-hmm. So who's
yeah, I don't know.
Who's she going to duet with?
Mm,
which
Josh
other?
Josh Groban.
No, no. He's a little too close to Broadway to make that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I want someone a little more like from outside the
Broadway sphere.
Yeah. That just like would be able to lend themselves really beautifully to that. Who could do it? Who could do Move On? It's got to be somebody with some range because that song mm-hmm. is rangy.
Yeah.
Like,
what about Sam Smith?
Maybe. I'm not thrilled with that. A little too close to Broadway for me.
Okay.
Orville.
Oh, yeah.
Orville would do a really beautiful job, right? Yeah. It would be heartfelt. I think he's got the range. So there you go. And what are we calling that game?
Divas to Broadway.
Divas to Broadway. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, perfect. All right. Well, these divas were back on the trail in Mount Rainier National Park. And we were heading through some meadows at this point because that's sort of like what the landscape looked like. And wouldn't you know it, we saw an actual little trail marmot right here. Who was sunning himself or herself.
It was like it was there to greet us.
It was.
You hated it.
Loathed. Unadulterated. Yep.
Mm-hmm. For your hair, your scream, your ah!
There it is. Yep. Mm-hmm. From here, we had some really great views of Rainier. And we continue to head along the trail as our view gets a little obscured for a bit. Apparently, something we didn't know at the time, as you're hiking literally on the mountain, sometimes there's so much cloud coverage, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Like you just can't see the mountain.
Yeah.
Which is very common every day. So you can get there, hike all around it, and still not really see it until you get a break through the clouds.
Yeah.
Which is also glorious when that happens.
And sometimes you just don't see it if you're there because it's so cloudy. The weather can be very temperamental here. Looking back as we're hiking, we can see a little bit of the park road. And we continue to wind along the trail here on the slopes and the hills. And it does look as though there are some wildflowers that are trying to do something, but nothing definitive yet. We didn't have really any like major wildflower blooms. We did see a few small white flowers, but nothing crazy.
So we keep going and we're making a slow-ish descent as we travel out, knowing that we will eventually bound back up. That being said, it is so idyllic at this moment. It was so beautiful. The trail winds out and cuts through the slopes, and eventually we come to another stream crossing. This is a much more rickety bridge. It almost feels like a little more collapsed. We definitely scurry across as quickly as we can.
As we look back, we could see a few locations that Becky points out to us, including the Pinnacles Trail and Bench Lake. Because of our timing, we were here, like we said, right before July 4th weekend. We knew we had about 2 days before things were going to kind of be a little bit more of a frenzy. And Becky and Marcy basically pointed these two trails out for us as potential last day things to do after we were done hiking. So we could potentially go up there in the afternoon if the time allowed and we weren't so tired. As we keep hiking, we ended up seeing a few wildflowers, those tiny white flowers I had mentioned, and eventually we start to see snow.
Now, because of the weather, we were uncertain what we might face on Rainier, so we brought some micro spikes with us, but you forgot yours in the car.
At home, in New Jersey.
At home, yes. In New Jersey. Yeah. At the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So the conditions on the trail were changing pretty rapidly on Rainier. We were hoping that while we were there, we might get to sunrise. But when we left for the trip, or even when we were in Olympic, everything to sunrise was still closed. That being said, the West got a ton of snow this year. But right before we headed out, we were checking with Marcy and the Washington Trail Association, which is a great resource. And it was clear that because of the warmth, things were melting fast. Thank you, global warming. But it was recommended that we, you know, obviously wear boots so you can like heel in the snow as you're descending and to sort of toe in as you like step in when you're ascending.
So hiking in the snow is not the worst, mostly because it's still mostly solid and not mushy, and it's not icy. It's somewhere kind of in between. There are parts of the trail where the snow is decently high, where it is covering a good deal of the trail, and the trail markers are also somewhat submerged. We do end up hiking for a little bit on the trail, following footprints and bare areas of trail. And then we eventually make our way to the juncture point for the Lakes Trail. This is where we start to turn and also begin our climb in earnest.
Essentially, what we're going to do was do about half of Skyline Trail today, only up to Golden Gate. That gave us some options for the following day and the potential to hike to Camp Muir, which is about halfway up the summit mm-hmm. to Rainier.
This was something that got kind of thrown out a ton. Were we going to hike up to Camp Muir? Were we not? It was going to be an exhausting hike. It was sort of this back and forth dialogue that we were all having with one another.
Right.
So, yeah.
So as we begin to turn up, we find ourselves in some patch areas of snow and bare trail. It is wild to just like be in shorts here, and yet there is snow everywhere.
Yeah.
And we were in shorts because yeah. it was summer.
Well, I don't think we would have been able to do it otherwise. I think no. we had long sleeves on to start. At least I know Becky and Marcy did. And then we may have too, but we quickly were just in short sleeves. It just was so warm at this point. At around 10 in the morning, we stopped to seriously apply some sunblock. So this was incredibly necessary, including our non-fashion sunglasses. We had to be very, very prepared for sun protection, based not only off of our elevation, but our exposure to the sun and from the sun bouncing off the snow. And there are people, as Becky explained, that would come off the mountain and just look wrecked from being burned because they were not expecting that level of sun exposure. So we were very, very vigilant. This was also where we were putting on our Elizabethan clown white, essentially, and basically could not rub that sunblock in, the mineral sunblock.
We continue to hike up a little bit more and then start to navigate off trail in the direction of the Paradise Glacier Trail. But this is all on snow. We are with two people who know Mount Rainier very well. So therefore, it's a little easier to go off trail, especially when everything's covered in snow. So you're not really like
traipsing on anything
on any ground at this point.
Mm-hmm.
After hiking with Becky in two different parks, obviously she knows this very well. It is clear that she is always very careful and respectful about this, and she knows what she is doing. And yes, we've never felt safer doing this with any other person.
No, absolutely not. She is the person to make us feel incredibly comfortable with hiking and hiking in situations that most people might not hike in. Incredibly grateful, feeling incredibly safe with her as a person to be with when it comes to hiking here. As we go off trail, this involves just hiking along giant snowfields, and for a lack of a better word, meandering. Becky is usually like, oh, that looks interesting. Let's go over there. And we just follow. And that's sort of her style of hiking in a lot of situations. Having been there now and looking at photos from Rainier, it almost looks like these snowfields were White Sands-esque. They just feel, especially because we're in shorts, that it felt like White Sands National Park, especially with the way the snow was looking in the shots where we're just all in snow.
We hit some areas of moraine and larger outcroppings. Moraine, please go listen to our trail mix on glacial retreat and also a science of glaciers to find out about what that is if you don't know. In the snow, which essentially becomes the marking points for our hike. As we gain more elevation, we get a better view of the Bench Lake area and the park road that we drove in on before. So we find ourselves at a larger bit of moraine that is below the ridgeline for a part of the mountain. There are some medium-sized boulders here, but we can walk around and see into the meandering valley in the mountain. And since we have some dry area here, even though we were provided with some sit pads, we take a moment to confer with maps.
So after kind of resting for a bit, Becky points us in the right direction, and we head off so that we can rejoin the Skyline Trail. After cutting through another snowfield or two, eventually we find another dry section that starts to lead us back up to Skyline. We have some momentary flatness here, which is kind of a nice reprieve as we had been trudging a little bit up through snow. It's short-lived, which is always the case, as we start to descend a little through yet another snowfield. The snow is definitely mushier now that the sun is higher and has started to melt a little bit more. And as we start to come down the slope of snow, we can, as Dusty had mentioned earlier, kind of heel into it and create a quick bound down.
This was really fun. Mm-hmm. All of this was very playful.
It felt sort of like Mount Eleanor-esque.
It did.
Without the chutes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we could move as we were going down pretty quickly. We can tell that there is water nearby because as we run close to the edge, there's a runoff from the mountain and we follow this down toward the bridge. And there is a clear that runs over the stream. And we can see that straight ahead of us in another snowfield with the elevation that we must climb. So after crossing the bridge and winding up a bit through the snow, we find another dry area, pop a squat, and eat some lunch. This is also where we find our buff fashion, an iconic photo shoot that we'll share.
Yes.
On our socials.
We had a lovely little fashion shoot with our buffs on.
That's right.
And our very overly sun-blocked faces and sunglasses, non-fashion sunglasses. After we have our little, you know, Kiki photo shoot, we get back on the Skyline Trail and it's mostly clear here, but there are some drifts of snow that are impacting our quicker progress. And this is definitely where we start to gain a large majority of the rest of the elevation that we're going to get on this day. Even though Rainier was in the front of us, we got some really good views at the surrounding landscape, which was to our left.
So the snow is totally mush here. So much use and so much sun we are trudging through. Obviously, thank goodness for waterproof boots. We come to this larger section of snow where the trail is supposed to be, but it's not fully exposed yet. So it's just footfall has carved a path through the snow. It is a very dramatic lead up as the mountain continues to rise in front of us the entire way. This is a trudge right here, and it is rough, but eventually we get to the top of this area.
It's interesting because from here it feels like you're in a bowl and there's a ridge in front of you that you can see the trail on top of, and looking to the right, you can see how the trail rises up to meet that ridge. If we wanted to go to Panorama Point from here, it would have been just under a mile, but a definite trudge-worthy mile. But it is an incredible, beautiful view to take in as we're standing here sort of at the juncture point for where we could go to the right or to the left. And it's an incredibly beautiful spot to just take everything in. What we ended up deciding to do next was turn to the left and head towards the Golden Gate Trail.
And with that, let's take our second break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Roberta Paradise.
Roberta Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've done Roberta Paradise, mm-mm, but you know what? Sometimes we have had a repeat queen. I don't remember, though, repeat queen would be a great drag name.
It's also a command.
Repeat queen, which means she has to come out, do an encore. No, Roberta Paradise.
Well, she's the sister of Roberta Prey, who we did just recently do.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I do feel like we do have some bird-inspired looks.
I don't know why.
Roberta Prey does more raptor looks. Roberta Paradise does more, it's like florals. Colorful, mm-hmm, tropical birds.
Mm-hmm. She's like a calypso dancer.
She is. Her favorite bird is a cockatoo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine that she has a little cockatoo puppet like sidekick that like maybe she like ventriloquists like brings to life.
Mm.
Like maybe it's not sitting on her lap, it's sitting on her shoulder and she can control it somehow and also do the thing where she voices it and you can't tell it's her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'm pretty sure I suggested that for Roberta Prey and you were like, this is like a hat wearing a hat wearing a hat.
Well, now it
Works.
It works. It works. A bird, a puppeted bird.
Well, I do feel like if she's a drag queen, I do feel like most male birds are the prettier birds.
That's right.
And so I feel like her looks are inspired by tropical male birds.
Totally.
And I think that's a great play on gender and sexuality.
Because male birds are drag queens.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen them.
Absolutely.
They literally put their feathers out and do a show and do a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, hi, look at
and
me.
They're shaking.
Aren't I beautiful?
It.
Mm-hmm. I'm gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Come get with me, sis.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Roberta Paradise, what song does she lip sync to? I feel like it's Charo. Some songs by Charo. Well,
can you give me one? Because I don't know any Charo.
I can't at this time. But maybe some songs by her. Selena.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I hear some Selena songs there. Maybe some Shakira.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Yeah. And then her merch, I think maybe it's like these little...
I think her merch is like Lisa Frank-esque.
Oh, fun.
Because she's so colorful.
She is.
Lisa
I like that.
Lisa Frank-esque office supplies.
I like that.
That
yeah.
are that have birds on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what if it's like Lisa Frank always did office supply stuff. What if it's Lisa Frank-inspired kitchen stuff? It's
sure.
like a Lisa Frank spatula.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Or a sure. Lisa Frank whisk. Right. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Great.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Roberta Paradise.
So, now we have turned off the trail from Skyline and we are headed toward Golden Gate Trail. This gives us a dramatically sweeping view to our left down the mountain. It was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, oh my God, go to Mount Rainier so you can see it. Ahead, there are hills which slope down toward the trail, and there is a decent amount of snow here that we have to navigate. There are a few bare areas on the trail, but definitely more sweeping snowfields.
Mm-hmm. We eventually get a really great view of Rainier with the hills and lower slopes of the mountain in front of it. It's a lot of patchy snow here and less of the giant snowfields that we had encountered as we had off-trailed on Skyline. Definitely have a decent cut of trail on this slope, and it's also the slopes themselves are very green despite the snow being on the trail itself. It would have been nice to have some wildflower moments here, but alas.
As we continue down this long stretch, we hit a switchback and turn around. Off in the distance on the green slopes is a pair of mountain goats, which are just grazing on the green.
Mm-hmm. So we had two animal sightings this
day. We did. Mm-hmm. Marmots and mountain goats.
Yeah.
What I was sort of
sounds
really...
like a Target brand.
It does.
Marmots and mountain goats.
I mean, Marmot is a brand.
It is,
but
yeah.
Not a sponsor.
No.
The thing that I learned about Mount Rainier in this moment is that doing this interconnected trail system that you can do on the Paradise side or to do the trails over on the Sunrise side is it's about just getting as many different views of Mount Rainier that you can.
Yeah.
Like the view is incredible. And then if you go 200 feet, you get a different view and you see something different. It's like Mount Rainier with this other thing. So being able to see Mount Rainier with the hills, beautiful, incredible. You know, being able to see Mount Rainier with the mountain goats, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that you would really get. So it's about sort of taking it in from multiple angles.
Yeah, it's all about perspective, everybody. As we turn at the switchback, it's clear that the trail is a little clearer, but fairly wet. Though it wasn't muddy. It just was like the snow runoff had started to create sort of streams. We had gotten a little of this too as we were making that kind of push ascent from after coming off of the snowfields, crossing the bridge and then heading up to the bowl. But that also wasn't that muddy. There is a bowl to our right at this point on the trail, and we could also see from above as we looked down that there were a bunch of people further off the trail that had decided to just essentially have a frolic here. They were just all playing around, and like some people had sledded down on their seats, kind of like a la our Mount Eleanor experience, down into this bowl, and yeah, they were just having a good time.
We do have some moments of wildflowers here, the same white wildflowers that we'd seen earlier on the way up. We do include this, everybody, because we've gotten responses in our comments that we have not mentioned enough wildflowers. So for those of you who are here for the wildflower content, we did see wildflowers on this trail.
But we also were not, I think, in peak season.
Oh, when no, we were no, there. No. We There's really, definitely a peak season there. Yeah. We weren't in that.
No, we here. Missed it, which is a bummer. But
yeah, as we continue to wind our way down, we get another impressive view of Rainier from the other side. We juncture back essentially right at Myrtle Falls and make our way down the paved path toward the visitor center.
When we arrived back towards the visitor center and lodge, we took a moment to stop at the lodge and go inside. And it had that feeling of many of the lodges that we've been to and within in the national parks. It had an outdoor patio that was reminiscent for me because I had also been to Rainier on that same trip that I had gone to Olympic on in 2015. And I was only here for a day, but I'm pretty sure we came up here and actually got on the initial part of Skyline. We had a little bit of time to explore, and this was like kind of like a toured group thing. And so they stopped us at a bunch of different spots, but I did come up to this visitor center. So it was like a nice little memory for me here.
We work our way to the visitor center. We take our shopping moment and our interpretive exhibit moment inside, and then we did come back there the following day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we do take a moment in there at this time. But we get in the car and we head back down the road. We stop at Narada Falls. This is a pull-off area, and that had a parking lot, and it is a great stop to make because it doesn't really ask too much. When we get out of the car, we can walk up to the wall, and essentially we're at the crest of the falls. And from here, there is a viewing platform with a trail to it on the opposite side of the falls that has a lower vantage point. You could stop and just enjoy the view from here, but we did all decide to like travel down the trail and get a better view of the falls. Something, of course, that Marcy and Becky had done many times before.
There are a ton of routes here as you're traveling down, and it is a little bit of a tricky trail to go down to, so just be mindful of that if you're doing this short jut out. But the falls are great. Wonderful to see them not just from above, but at this viewing platform. So if you're able to do it, definitely go down and do it. We trudge ourselves back up, we get in the car, and we continue to drive out of the park. And Marcy's driving at this point, so she's like, no one's behind us. I'm going to slow down as we get to the Christine Falls Bridge and the falls themselves. And so this was great because, again, no one was behind us, so she was able to slow to a crawl, and we were able to have this nice little photo moment of Christine Falls. And this was something we were going to get to experience a little closer and firsthand later in the trip.
We drove back to where we were staying. We were tired, but we were thrilled. It felt great to do all of this today. We settled in. We got in the hot tub because we had booked a place with a hot tub,
which is always a gift.
If you're able to do that, we always recommend. Had a few beers and just enjoyed the night. And it was beautiful. All right, Mike, let's put this trail on the Karen Stone scale. Now, there are some things we have to remember, which is it was highly snow covered. We're only going to be able to respond to this as it is snow covered.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I'm thinking a 6 is for me.
Okay.
It was tricky, but I never felt like it was too much. I never felt right. like it tilted towards 10.
No.
Yeah.
If there were less snow, maybe it would be less, but I think because of the snow, it made it a 7 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The descent on Golden Gate wasn't bad.
No.
It really was the trudge up, but that was a lot of fun because we were off trailing it too. So do you want to put anything for Narada on here?
Oh, because I would say like a three. I mean, it's definitely not a one or two.
No, I'd say for me, I'm just, there were so many routes and
a lot of
it was kind of slippery. So that's not a trail for everyone by any means. It's short, but
it's a decline and then an incline.
I'd say like
up.
A three or four for sure. So,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
So a 13 out of 20 for Skyline to Golden Gate and a 7 out of 20 for Narada Falls.
And let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia. Who would like to start today?
Go for it.
Okay, great. My Jeopardy is inspired by the title of this episode, which is Skyline to Golden Gate.
Okay.
And I was thinking about all the different... Skyline is the name of a drive in so many national parks. Mm-hmm. And Golden Gate is like a place in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And obviously on Mount Rainier, we were going from Skyline to Golden Gate. So this entire category, what you have to do is use the clue to guess which point or neighborhood you're starting in, and then which point or neighborhood you're going to, and you also have to name the city.
Okay.
Okay,
great. We're very near to one another in our Jeopardies.
Interesting.
Today, so.
Okay, great. So for 100, if you took a stroll up the elevated park that used to be an elevated train and then exited Hudson Yards, walked over to 8th Ave and walked up to 59th, and found herself at the corner of this famed green space, you'd be going from here to here in this city.
So I'm naming the neighborhood and the cities.
You're naming the, like, for this, it's the elevated park and then the famed green space and the city.
Okay. What? Well, the city's New York City.
Yes.
And is it Central Park East? The city.
It's just Central Park.
Central Park is where you're headed. And you're coming from
the elevated park that used to
be. Oh, what is the High Line to Central Park?
That is correct. Okay. In New York City. Great. For 200, if you started along the water at Penn's Landing for lunch and made your way on foot up to Johnny Brenda's for dinner, you'd be going from this neighborhood to this neighborhood in this city.
So you'd be going from South Street to Fishtown in Philadelphia.
Yes, I'll take that.
Or Queen Village, we could say.
Yeah. Sometimes Penn's Landing is also technically considered Old City.
I'll
take any of those. Okay. You know, yeah. Philly better than I do. So.
I guess part of it's Old City.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all like in the mix down there.
For 300, if you took a look at the painting American Gothic by Grant Wood in real life, in person, then got on foot to head to the north end of this city to go to the queer neighborhood nestled in North Olstead. You'd be going from here to here in this city.
What is the city of Chicago?
Yes.
What is Millennium Park to Lakeshore?
What is the bigger name for that area?
For the Loop?
There it is.
Okay.
Okay, the Loop to...
The Loop to...
What's the name of the queer neighborhood?
It's not Lakeshore, but it's adjacent.
It's inside of North Olstead.
Yeah. And we stopped there at that one bar.
We did.
For like 2 seconds.
We did.
I can't remember the name of it.
What is... So it's Chicago, mm-hmm. And what is the Loop to Boys Town?
Boys Town, duh. Hi.
There you go. Okay.
Take my card.
So for 400... If you were standing at Paul Revere's house, the 12th stop on this famous tour in this city, and then traveled across the river to visit the neighborhood where you could see Harvard, you'd be going from here to here. So we're going from a tour to a neighborhood.
What is the Midnight Ride Tour?
Not the Midnight Ride Tour.
Which
you can
sounds,
do it.
Which sounds... sexual.
It does. Yeah.
What's the Freedom Trail?
Yes.
To what is Cambridge?
That's right. And you're in Boston. Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, great. And finally, for 500, in this city, if you started in a collegiate neighborhood named for America's first president, as well as a college, and traveled north to this neighborhood, which sounds like it is named for a comedic actor who starred in Christmas Vacation, the rest of the Vacation franchise, and also the TV show Community, you'd also be in this city.
What is going from Washington to Chevy Chase, and what is D.C.?
It is D.C., and you are going to Chevy Chase, but you're not going from Washington. Think about
what is Madison?
Think of Jefferson. The first president, but his first name.
What is George Washington?
George is correct, but in this neighborhood.
Georgetown.
What's there you Georgetown go. Georgetown to Chevy Chase. Chase.
Mm-hmm. In D.C.
There you go.
Great. And wonderful. So my episode's Jeopardy is titled Skyline. In this Jeopardy, I'm going to be naming buildings in a city, and you're going to need to tell me that make up the iconic skyline of the city, and you're going to need to tell me the city.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay.
Great, okay.
So I'm for ready. 100, 30 Hudson Yards, 432 Park Avenue, and the Woolworth Building help to make up this iconic city skyline.
What is New York?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Correct. New
and
York City.
This floor better shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
Mm-hmm. For 200, the Comcast Technology Center, Comcast Tower, and One Liberty Place make up the skyline of this city on the Delaware.
What is Philadelphia?
Correct.
Sponsored by Comcast. We are not, but the city of Philadelphia is.
Seriously. Don't you mean Cable Town? Yep. For 300, St. Paul's, The Shard, and Lloyd's Building are a mix of young and old in this city's skyline. I should say this European city's skyline.
What is London?
Correct.
Okay. St. Paul's.
For 400, One Barangaroo, Shifley Tower, and Salesforce Tower accompany a rather attractive music hall in the making up of this city's skyline.
Salesforce Tower? Really? What is Sydney?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. I didn't know they had a Salesforce
Tower
accent in
Sydney. Throw you off?
The accent was pretty good, but I was like, is he doing Australian or is he trying to do something else and it's landing Australian?
Mm-hmm. Is he doing American, doing Australian, doing American?
That's it, right.
That hard R.
Mm-hmm. Hard R's.
Okay, and lastly, Sky Tower, the one, and Scotia Tower make up this capital city's skyline.
What is Washington, D.C.?
Incorrect.
Now, is it an American capital city?
No, it's not.
Okay, hold on. Read them again.
Sky Tower, the one, and Scotia Tower make up this capital city skyline.
Is it in Nova Scotia? Is it Montreal? Toronto.
There you go.
There we go. I got there. I got there. It was Toronto. I knew the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.